אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
We're reading from the writings of בעל הסולם, page 730, letter 24, or in Sages Fruit, letter 24. You can ask questions through kav.tv. Chosen relevant question to the study shall be heard during the lesson. So Sages Fruit, letter 24. And I received your letter from the 14th of Tishrei and enjoyed it greatly. I commend your efforts and the adhesion of friends. May the Lord grant you a complete intention. Please, my friend, strengthen yourself in the study of Torah, both the revealed and the concealed. For you lack nothing else but strengthening in the boring of Torah, for the evil inclination dwells only in a heart vacant of wisdom. Protect yourself from laziness, for it is the hardest shell in the world. And sadness is the sign of laziness, and happiness is a sign of weakness. If it's not hard for you, I would have advised you to study the art of teaching in order to become a teacher, which is good for the soul. And the main thing is to pray and trust the Lord in everything you wish to do, and He shall grant you with all the best. You have known that prayer and certainty come side by side, and one must believe in complete faith that the Creator hears every prayer, especially regarding the Holy Divinity. And with this faith, one acquires confidence. And then one's prayer will be complete with certainty that he shall be saved. Then he will be rewarded with the certainty and happiness all day long, as if he had already been saved. Remember what I told you. In the first hour after waking up, break your heart and engage in midnight correction in thought. And grieve yourself deeply for the sorrow of the divinity which suffers as a result of your deeds. But don't engage in it that extensively, not more than 1 hour, and after that, elevate your heart immediately in the path of the Lord in complete faith and certainty, and engage all day long in the Torah and faith in happiness. And if you wish, you can engage in heartbreaking also half an hour before you go to sleep. But beware from the cunningness of the inclination which wishes to sadden a person while laboring for the Creator. And at such a time the evil inclination is told, although you're right, hold on, for I have a fixed hour for that. And I will think of it at that time only, and not while facing the king. That is why the priest had special clothes for removing ashes from the altar and special clothes for working his work. And be cautious in those things, and then you will be rewarded to bring yourself closer to adhesion with the Creator. May the Lord be with you. We can have few things from here, although meanwhile we can't understand this letter. The work he's talking about here is a very sublime kind of work, of course not according to the hours on the clock, on the wall, to get up at midnight and 1 hour. Rather, the whole work is according to different situation a person is going through, and not necessarily either. There are times a person decides for himself, and there are situations which determine what needs to be done. And therefore, back to our point, to try to do everything according to a plan which we pre-decide, predetermine, for we don't have those situations over which Tess is talking about, that a person is going through spiritual actions intended, in which he exists in a certain control order, series of intentions, discernments. And there we are talking about waking up, sitting down, going to sleep, day, night, and how to use those situations named like that. And to engage in the exhale of the divinity, or in heartbreaking, or in elevation, uplifted, as we learn in Kriyat Shema, and other prayers, preparing the vessels, receiving the lights. So this is what this letter is actually talking about. So of course Hasidis can read it differently, but Baal HaSulam, who recommends those things to his disciple, he means a very high, very sublime inner work, by the way. This is what he's writing here. So if you have any questions, please do. What is it I would have advised you to study teaching in order to become a teacher? This is not teaching of becoming a teacher in a class or something. That's clear, that's obvious. Rather, the whole path, our path, it's a game. When we play with things, we're making exercises better than acting and playing. Game is for little kids, we think, but the whole game is an exercise which kids grow by, and then they have better, more sophisticated games. So each age has its own games. But the games, I know when I used to live in Rehovot, then I knew someone who worked in Weizmann Institute, something in pedagogic, and there they develop different games for different ages. And then they sold them in shops. So a game is a very serious thing. You need to know what you give, exactly how and what it should bring to kids of different ages and in the right order. So it's the same with us. Therefore, all in all, we need to come to the light. And to do so, first we have to prepare ourselves for it. The light of Chasadim with the illumination of Chochmah, this is our goal. Until it will be revealed in Havaya of Alephin. In Gematria, it is Ma or Adam, man. That means to come to Hora'ah, light teaching in Hebrew. It's the same. Okay, we can read something else because it was a short letter. Letter 25, it is in page 714 in the writings of Baal HaSulam. And what you have written, that you don't understand the renewals of the Torah I had written for you, they should have been clear for you. And of course you should understand them while working there, because I have written them for you. And what you have interpreted of transgressions who turned into merits while redeeming in the Lord, he evidently sees that the Creator had compelled him for his transgressions, but still he's giving his soul for their corrections, as if his transgressions were willingly, and there the malices are as merits,
you have missed the goal yet, because finally you are making coarseness merits, but not from transgression, and you have deviated from the way in the interpretation of Adam HaRishon's sin, and you have compelled his soul exile of coercion, and you make a coercion as he who made mistakes. And the excuse that you gave, that there's no division whether the baby is filthy, is in all ways, or the deed of his father, he is compelled to go and bathe. But what? How can the filth come out of something pure? And your last words are honest. Since you have entered a place which is not your own, and due to your habit to be in places which are not your own, therefore you misunderstood my precise words, which are meant only for you and your name. Who shall give that these words will be enough for you not to go in vintages which are not your own? And so it is said in the Zohar, one mustn't watch in a place where he shouldn't. And what you had written, that I hide myself between the lines, etc., the need of your people, Israel, are plenty, for there is no time which resembles another, and moreover, those who are standing on the gate, they run forth and back, and the gates do not open up. There is no end to the changing situations, and while I'm writing the words of the Torah, or by heart, I'm saying them to provide at least for a few months, meaning to be clear in good times a long time. And what can I do if the good times are lesser, or the missing is more than what you have? Of course, human mind cannot understand my words at all, for they are said and joining from letters of the heart. And in that you have imagined that you came in and couldn't come out, for you were tired from thinking about the matter, I shall tell you in a way of general, that he who comes back from love is rewarded with the essence of adhesion, meaning the sublime degrees. And a person ready for sins, he is in the bottom. And there are 2 points which are further away in this reality. Seemingly, we should be precise on redemption, that it should have been called holiness, only to indicate that everything is predetermined and each and every soul is already in its light and its eternality, only for the bread of shame. The soul came out in the secret of restrictions until it closes this foul body, and only thanks to its merit she returns to its root prior to the restriction, and its reward is from its terrible way it has gone, that the generality of the reward is true adhesion, meaning that it got rid from the braid of shame, for her vessel of reception turned into a vessel of bestowal, and her form was equalized to her maker. And I have already talked a lot about it, meaning our whole advancement by the egoistical will to receive, which is in us, this is how we advance. And by adding it to our advancement in our return to that adhesion, by doing so, we are rewarded to this sublime degree. So by the dissension, we had received an egoistical desire, which now helps us come in return and to be not in one point, attached to the Creator, rather in equal degree. And now you shall understand with the descent, if the descent, if it's in the purpose of an ascent, it is considered to be an ascent and not a descent. And the descent itself is the ascent, because a person acquires another addition through his will to receive, through which he ascends himself. Because the letters of the prayer themselves are filled from the abundance, and in a short prayer he shall harvest the abundance, for the letters shall be missing. And so the sages said, if Israel did not sin, only 5 books of Torah were given to them, and the book of Joshua only. So the sins, these are revelations of the egoistic will to receive, which is in us long ago. And thanks to them, we advance and we elevate and come to this sublime purpose of the creation. And if the sins wouldn't have been revealed, then we wouldn't have been able to ascend. Therefore, it is an essential thing. What does it resemble to a great rich person who had an only son young of age? And the day came and the rich man had to travel far for many years. And the rich person feared that his son will spend his property, and therefore he switched his property with good gems, rubies and gold. And he also built a big cellar deep in the ground and put his gold and good stones and rubies, and also his son was put there. And he called his loyal slaves, and he commanded them to guard his son from coming out from the cellar until the age of 20 years old. 20, we understand what it is. It's a whole corrected degree which is already set for working with the whole will to receive in order to bestow. So these are 10 sefirot of direct light and returning light. And also every day they will bring him food and drinks, but in any case they won't give him light and candles. And when they will examine, and they should examine the walls so the light beams won't come in there. And for his health, he should be brought out from the cellar every day for 1 hour, and they will walk with him around the city, but with great protection so that he won't run away. And when he will be at the age of 20, then give him candles, open up a window for him, and let him out. So in such a way, we advance till the age of 20 years, always under restriction, limitations, always in the increasing will to receive, and then they put us back in the cellar. And then, in some success, excitement, impression, we come to a certain small hour of connection with spiritual air, and again we enter the cellar, and in short, eventually, we cannot justify our situation, and we feel ourselves as if we are truly in darkness, in the basement, in the cellar, all on the count of the lack of our correction. But this is what we feel. It is clear that the grief of the son was great, and moreover, when he walked outside and saw everybody eating and drinking and happy outside without any guard and protection and limitation of time, and he is in prison and numerous moments of light, and if he would have tried to run away, he was beating fiercely. Meaning, he is in the egoistical spiritual will to receive, and therefore he feels himself trapped and in a darkened cellar. They don't feel themselves in the egoistical spiritual will to receive. They are as beasts, and therefore they feel good, and they feel themselves in their small desires happy. And of course we cannot compare the despair and the fatigueness and the sorrow that a person feels who is in the spiritual path and still corrects himself and cannot succeed yet, and he has nothing, and in such an egoistical way he cannot advance, he feels it's not working, and he doesn't have a screen yet, he cannot turn the candle on his own, he is in darkness with his will to receive. So it turns out that his whole life are a darkened cellar, basement. Unlike everyone else who are happy and joyful, those little kids outside, where the will to receive wasn't revealed in them, which they have to correct and through which to come to adhesion in spirituality. So this is Kabbalah for the student, page 233. And he was more sorrow when he learned that his father did all those things for him, for they are the slaves of the servants of his father's doing his father's command. So for all our great exertion, as much as we're working on it for dozens of years, where is the payment? Something, at least some advancement, something to understand a little bit or feel. But eventually I feel and understand that this is, that I feel bad, but this is a bad way. So still, the grief, the sorrow remains a sorrow. Clearly, he thought his father was the cruelest man of all time. For who has ever heard of such a thing? Indeed, the Creator is doing everything. There is none else but Him. Where is the good and benevolent? On the contrary, where is the light in the end of the tunnel? Everything is darkened. The more we advance, the more we understand that it is darkness, darkest darkness. And there is nothing left to enjoy from. And a person takes out all his nerves on the whole world. That's clear. So the situation is as you see. Until you don't come to a correction inside darkness, you don't come to a correction of 20 years, that degree. On the day of his 20th birthday, the servants hung down one candle, as his father had commanded, and not a moment earlier. And the more he grew in the basement, of course he felt himself more and more miserable, unlike all the people who grew on the outside, like his friends who are like him. We see how happy they are with life, how good they feel. The boy took the candle and began to examine his surroundings. And what did he see? Sacks filled with gold and every royal bounty. Only then did he understand his father, that he was truly merciful, and that all he had done he did for his own good, and immediately realized that the guards would let him out of the cellar and go free. And so he did. He came out of the cellar, and there were no guards, no cruel servants, and he was the greatest of all the land's wealthy. All those slaves who beat him and kept him in the cellar, they became his servants now, all because he himself had changed. He acquired vessels of bestowal. In fact, there is no innovation here at all, for it becomes apparent that he was of great wealth to begin with all his days. So he was in the world of Ein Sof with everything there's there. There is no other place for the spiritual world, whether we're there also, even now. And he only felt that he was poor and indigent and utterly miserable. And now, in a single moment, he had been given immense wealth and rose from the lowest pit to the highest peak. because he had switched his vessel. So instead of this miserable, pitiful black world of ours, which he felt as a seller, all of a sudden he discovers, in addition to it, the enlightened world. But who can understand this allegory? One who understands that the sins are the deep seller and the careful guard that he will not escape. Thus, evidently, the seller and the careful watch are then merits. And the Father's mercy over his Son. Without them, it would have been impossible for him to become as rich as his Father. But the sins are real sins, not mistakes, and one must not be forced. Rather, before one returns to one's wealth, therefore the mention, emotion, rules in its fullest sense. But after one returns to one's wealth, he sees that all these were the Father's mercies and not cruelty at all. Therefore, the sins and mistakes, this is on the account of the Creator, our relation towards the Creator. Either by sins or mistake, we say that He's wrong. That means sins and mistakes. Everything with respect of the providence. Therefore, He's called complete wicked or not complete wicked, and then righteous and complete righteous. Everything with respect to the providence, the Creator or the Father, like the Son thinks. So the more He grows towards the age of 20, then the more he thinks that his father is crueler. He buried him in a cellar, and if at the age of 5 he still plays with something and doesn't get life, so at the age of 19, close to 20, he feels himself, he feels where he truly is, and his whole life, and there's nothing else. It's worse than death. And they even let him outside for 1 hour to see what the true life is, meaning inside his ego, because he's still in his ego, in the cellar. And then he has to go through all his disappointments, meaning he has to feel how the bad thoughts over his father are coming on. Through him as sins and mistakes, without acknowledging in his will to receive that it is opposite to the Creator. And from there he determines that the Creator is evil, is bad, that he says that the Creator is evil. Then he's called the wicked himself, and when the Creator is a complete wicked, then this is what he determines over himself. And then he will determine that he himself is a complete wicked. Without it, he can't come out of the cellar, meaning he has to scrutinize his whole ego, his whole will to receive through true discernments.
We must understand that the whole connection of love between the Father and His only Son depends on the Son's recognition of His Father's mercy for Him concerning the issue of the cellar, the darkness, and the careful watch. That is, precisely after one examines it and he is disappointed and he's angry against his father, then later it becomes revealed to him how mistaken he was, and that whole gap, and how loving his father is, and that his father had to do that, although he knew that his son will hate him instead of loving him, still he had to do that with great sorrow. And painfully, he made his son sad for those 20 years. And he was sorry for that sorrow of the son. Felt it much more deeply than how the son felt it. But he had to do it in order to have the son build the proper vessels for the revelation of love. This is because the son discovers great efforts and profound wisdom in these mercies of the Father. The Holy Zohar, too, speaks of it, saying that for one who is rewarded with repentance, the Holy Divinity appears like a kind-hearted mother who had not seen her child for many days. And they made great efforts to see each other, and as a result suffered many a great danger. In the end, the long-awaited freedom had come to them, and they were granted the meeting. And then the mother fell on him and kissed and comforted him, speaking softly to him all day and all night. She told him of the longing and the perils along her way, and how she was with him all along. And Divinity did not move, but suffered with him in all the places, only he could not see it. This is what a person later reveals, how much the Creator, or the quality of Binah, Divinity, doesn't matter how you call it, how much the Creator suffered and not him. This is how it is revealed that the Creator took all that sorrow upon himself. This is called the sorrow of Divinity. These are the words of the Zohar. She tells him, here we slept, here we were assailed by bandits, and we were saved. This is how he feels, that the Creator went through all those discernments with him, and he organized them in that way, as it says, thou hast hemmed me in behind and before, and all that sorrow and love existed in all the steps. And then when a person remembers that he had anger towards the Creator and disappointment and so on, that is now turning into a vessel in the intensity of the Divinity itself. It's like a chap of Bina, which is infinitely greater, infinite times greater than Malchut. Now, Bina suffers that much times greater than Malchut. It's like how a mother suffers more than the children. And now, when a person goes back and raises his sins and mistakes to repentance from fear and repentance from love, it helps him acquire that achap of Bina, which turns into his. Because otherwise it's impossible to transfer those great vessels to a person. Because on the one hand, he didn't suffer like the Bina. On the other hand, he does acquire the vessels of Bina. How could it be? Isn't it like it says, bread of shame? It is because now he is in Bina, and then gradually, time after time, he starts raising first the mistakes to repentance from fear, and then the sins to repentance from love, and thus correcting them. So our whole path turns out to be the attainment of Achap of Bina, that great vessel in which the Chokhmah is revealed. And that is just impossible without the seller and all that anger, and first relating to the Father as the cruelest of all, that there is nothing worse than that. And later, afterwards, the revelation of truth. And here we hid in a deep hole. This is all that one examines and feels as the sorrow of his father, and he he takes on that the shape of that sorrow. And what fool would not understand the multitude of love, pleasantness, and delight that gushes out of these comforting stories, that which emerges from the love that emerges from the remoteness and disparity and hate. In truth, before they met face to face, it felt like torments that are harder than death. But with enega, which means illness or pain, the ayin, the last letter in the Hebrew word, is at the end of the word. Yet, when speaking comforting words, the ayin is in the beginning of the word, which is certainly oneg, meaning pleasure. But these are two points that shine only once they exist in the same world. Imagine a father and a son who were waiting anxiously for each other for days and years. In the end, they met, but the son was deaf and dumb, and they could not play with one another. Thus, the essence of love is in royal pleasures. Questions? Yes. Terry from Georgia is asking whether the more we come closer to the barrier, the Creator become crueler. Yes and no. We come closer by many opposite contradicting discernments. There is no good without bad. Therefore, the more we advance and acquire the ability to discern more, to justify more on one hand, to realize that there is none else besides Him, on the other hand, we also feel how these things are opposite. When can I say that there's a transgression? When a person is working hard and he demands to be rewarded, but he's not given anything. Let's say he works for a month or two or for a year or two, and he's forced to be working by blows. So, of course, the more he advances, the sorrow becomes clarified. It becomes more profound, more understandable. Who did that to me? He understands the Father more as well. Just like how the Father made the seller farther from what he sees outside. In the beginning, one thinks, okay, so I'm under concealment a little bit. The more one grows, one sees that the concealment is over everything. All the attainments, all the anything, all that develops from his desire. So, we already learned that in the introduction to Talmud HaSefirot, that one who puts a little effort into advancing doesn't have that much anger towards the Creator. He can still justify the Creator because he also hangs his failure on his own failure. But the more a person makes efforts, the more angry he is towards the Creator. In the allegory, it looks like the best work is by the loyal servants. No, those loyal servants are the forces of nature. Yes, so that was the question. What are they? They are the forces of nature. Besides man and the Creator, there's nothing else. And all those guys hanging out in the city and outside the cellar, They are also angels, all of them. It's also it's all just an image that appears to him that way. And the Father projects those films deliberately. A bad film in the cellar and a good film outside. This is how the picture of the world appears to us, and we judge it according to our own flaws. So you can't prefer any other role than the one you have, which is being the son in the cellar. Joseph from Jerusalem is asking, what are the signs that a person is really in the cellar and not imagining? It doesn't matter if he's imagining or not. How can we discuss those things? It's all a process that we go through. Okay, so imagine. Doesn't matter. And if I say you don't imagine, what does it matter? What's important is to keep grabbing, hanging on to the goal, and anything that happens on the way is something that should happen. All of a sudden, you're being taken out of the cellar, then you're being put into it again, then you feel blows, all kinds of things, until the candle comes and then you can see. Before that, how much can we discuss that? Just hold on to the goal. Here in the allegory, there are guards that help him hold on to the goal. He has no choice. In my life, it seems like a very hard path. How do you hold on to the goal? If you don't hold on to the goal, then by blows you will. Who are you? What do you think? You came here because you thought you're about yourself. Where will I go? Okay, I'll go there. This is what I'll do in my life. You didn't have a choice. You just came and that's it. Don't try to act before us that you chose your own great goal. That's it. You felt bad, so you came. And if you run away, you'll suffer blows and then you come back again. And all that path of going out and going back again is also not on your part. So what keeps me here? The fear of blows. Just hold on to the goal. Make it the most important. This means putting it in front of me. What does it mean? In front of me or besides me or what? It means it's all about the importance. There are 1,000 things in front of me, and if that's in front of me, it means that this is my biggest concern, my biggest worry. Okay, let's say I go outside once a day. Yeah, let's say. You're outside right now as well. So I see all those people having good time outside. How do I not fall into that and hold on to the goal? Yeah, but once you were with them and you said, this is how to enjoy life. Now you say this isn't the way to enjoy life. You see, you're being played with. So how to keep yourself from falling back to that? Before you go outside, if you're talking about physically going outside somewhere, I'm not talking about physically. I'm saying that even while sitting here, you may be outside. Because a person is where his thoughts are. So we always have to make sure that our thoughts are about the goal. So then it wouldn't matter to me. I can go to any physical places and be integrated with many situations and activities, but I keep walking the same lane. Throughout the work, in some states a person wants to run away. He just wants to run away. No, he's being cut off. Does he want it himself, or he was cut off like you suffer a blow on your head and then you don't understand what's happened? No, if he was cut off, he's totally unaware of that. Then he is brought back and it's not him, it's all done to him. And he wakes up and all of a sudden he says, where was I with my thoughts? That happens. But if there is yet a moment, if there is still a moment where he can still make a decision what to cling to, where to go, what thought to adhere to, that's an excellent thing. This is where you have choice. This is where you can work with it. Don't you like these moments? That is the good thing. That's what's good. That's when you feel that you make a decision on something. They give you a feeling that you're given a feeling that something is happening with you. We will learn all that later. These are the screens. I want to ask about another situation. When a person feels that he's in the cellar and it's dark and he wants to run away. Why? Because he feels dark. No, in that place you have to bring light. Why should you run? Run where? So you're running away from the battle, as it says. If you want to run away from external things, then you're running away from the path. I understand you feel bad, but you have to force yourself to see the light in that situation. That's the whole point. Just escaping the situation, I'll go watch a movie. I'll go out to a bar to drink a beer. I'll call my old past friends. That is a complete descent. That is escaping. And you'll suffer blows because of that. It's like the son trying to run out of the cellar. He suffers blows, and you'll suffer blows as well. Only you seems to you like you're allowed to escape, to run away, until you see the connection between the blows and those escapes. That's not simple as well, because things can feel from completely different sources, and it comes in a different time. It's like Rabash said about his grandfather. He did something bad, and after a week, she came and told him, "Baruch, remember you did something wrong?" And then she hit him 2 days later or something. It's like this. You are in a good situation, you're doing all the effort and all that, and all of a sudden, boom. That's the reward of the Torah, and you don't tie it to the fact that you previously escaped the cellar. That's a great study here, because it's all one system. You have to know that it's all integral, it's global. Meaning it's one closed system. You can't receive that specific reward for the specific action or the specific punishment for the specific action. It all seems like it's coming from a completely different thing. You know, it's like my feet are cold and then my nose is running. What's the connection? Right? But it's one body. You understand this example? Okay. Yes, please translate him. When a baby is born, there is suffering that he suffers, which is much greater for his mother. Of course, the baby has to go through that sorrow, that suffering. No, it's unnatural what he says. He's talking about he's talking about a Caesarean birth. This is called a mishap. And there are situations like that. It happened in history as well, when there's a birth accident. It happens in historical processes as well.
No.
Rav, yesterday or the day before, we said that the test for correct progress is the feeling of joy. Yeah, we always said that, not only yesterday or the day before. Yeah, but we emphasized it yesterday. How does it coincide with the seller and the torments? This is what Roy said, and I told him about the running away. You have to bring the light, the candle, into the cellar. Bring your friends from outside into there and feel joy there, because you have to forcefully justify the Father who prepared that cellar for you, and that you're given. You're told that those states come from the Creator, from above. There's none else besides Him. If there's none else besides Him, then it has to be good. Period. That's it. So I have nothing to worry about. Whether it's good or bad, it's, as it says, even if I walk in the valley of darkness, I shall not fear because you are beside me. That's it. If you are beside me, I don't demand anything. This is called light. Meaning, I only need one thing, that this awareness will not leave me. That's it. All the rest doesn't matter. And then I work with adhering to that awareness that I'm with Him over on top of my emotion. And the feeling is of course it's bad because it's egoistic. I have to transcend it. And if I do, everything is good. Then there's no cellar, there's no darkness. All of a sudden, the darkness shines as light. What is the candle that is given to him later by those servants? When he reaches the end of the path of trying to do something, it's not just plain suffering. What he tells here, of course, an example is always lacking to equalize to the truth. It's not just suffering for 20 years and then feeling something. Suffering doesn't bring anything. All those clarifications, those scrutinies of good and bad and discernments bring the ability to see the light in the cellar. Moving on to the second part of the lesson from Writings of Baal HaSulam.